Are you ready to make a change in your life? The first steps start right now. This is I Believe in You with Coach Kathy McCarthy. Get ready as Coach Kathy gives you all the tools and inspiration you need to change your life story. Now here's I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
Well, well, we are up and running on this wonderful Saturday morning. I think I had way too much coffee to be dealing with this morning, Beth.
Yes.
Well, welcome to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy. I am Coach Kathy, your holistic health and life coach, and I'm here with our wonderful producer, Jill. Thank you for getting us up and running, Jill.
Thank you.
Sorry about the
no worries.
Technical difficulty.
No worries.
That's show business, babe.
Could I say friggin' on air?
Yes.
I think you can,
Could I say hell?
Yeah, you can.
How about bitch?
Okay.
Could I say
ass?
I love you.
Me too.
And Beth Reynolds, my awesome, beautiful sidekick business partner and the one who keeps me calm during these times. How are you, Beth?
I'm good. How are you, Kathy?
I'm doing okay. So we're here. We have some new listeners that I'd love to say good morning to. We have Nicole in Wilton and Maria in Stanford and Kim in Norwalk, who's not feeling well. Kim, I hope you get better soon. I love you. And, of course, Angelo and Gloria. I love you, Gloria. So, I'm going to get a little bit serious here for a moment. Today, Beth, we're going to talk about perfectionist peacemakers and drama queens. These are three personality traits that I think we all could relate to, right?
I certainly can. Every single one of them.
And we were tested this morning.
Yes.
My perfectionist trait came out a little bit this morning. But let me just define what a perfectionist is. And I think we all have these tendencies. But a perfectionist is someone who wants to create the perfect environment. This is the people who want the perfect holiday, who wants to eat on China at Christmas.
She's mocking me.
And I'm not mentioning any names. Who strives for excessive excellence and who wants their environment controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Understood?
Yes. And it manifests, I think, in overwork as well. I think it's something we talked about in perfectionists, that we think that we're doing a good job by staying until 2 in the morning, but really what we're doing is just exhibiting perfectionist tendencies.
Right. They want to get it done at all costs.
Right.
Right? So that's the perfectionist trait.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the peacemakers. These are the good, kind people who want to just keep the peace at any cost. They don't say anything. They just want to make everybody happy. They avoid the confrontation. And they just want everything to stay status quo. Mm-hmm. Homeostasis. It's okay. Those are the people you'd want to go up to and say, will you just do something? Say something.
But I think they think they're doing the right thing. Just like the overworkers think they're doing the right thing by working hard,
right?
To ever lessening degree, I think the peacemakers think they're doing the right thing.
I think all of these traits, and we all can relate to each one of them on some level.
Mm-hmm.
They all, our purpose in our minds is that we are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And these personality traits, they're not right or wrong. They're just a trait that I believe we each of us have. In some degree, some more or less. And then the last one is the drama queen. And we both have kids under 18 in our household, and we know how drama comes up daily and carried into adulthood. And the drama queens, for lack of a better term, are the people who have the calm. And it gets a little boring, so they create controlled drama in order to get a little bit spicy, a little bit spice in their life. So an example of that would be gossiping. Or the person who just wants to throw a little bit of a monkey wrench in their day or week by, you know, kind of making it a little bit spicy.
So I always think of drama queens as people who want attention.
They're people who maybe are on social media a lot and excessively posting things and counting the likes and want that attention on them. They're craving that attention. And like I said, this is not right or wrong. These are just traits that I think we need to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, I would say that several of my friends who may be listening would point to me as a drama queen. I don't think I actually search out attention, but sometimes I do like to shake it up or disturb the peace. Is that necessarily bad?
No, these are not good or bad. These are just things that we all do. I'm guilty of all of them. I am, you know, I say I'm a recovering perfectionist, but I do have those tendencies. And, you know, call it what you want, but, you know, I do have every one of these tendencies. Sometimes life gets a little boring and you want to spice it up a little bit. So you create a little drama, not too much, but just enough to kind of put a little spice in that that day. And the peacemaker, sometimes it's like, you know what, I don't want that confrontation. That person is loud. They're going to make a scene. And I just want to leave it alone. And that's okay. And we'll justify every one of these actions. I overwork because, you know, I need to. I am the breadwinner and I have to provide for my family. So I have to work till 2 a.m. And I'm a peacemaker because, you know, that person is explosive and they get very angry and I don't want to have to deal with it. So I will just stuff that. And then the drama queen is, well, you know, I have to say something or about that person because that was wrong. What they did and what they said was so wrong. So it's up to me to bring that up to my superior or, you know, my girlfriend, you know, she has to know that so-and-so is talking about her back because it's just wrong.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. We've all
done it.
Have done it and do it, but we're so unaware of it because we justify that by telling ourselves the story that makes it okay.
Right.
And again, it's not right or wrong. It's just a trait to be aware of.
So what are we doing when we overwork and justify it, or we gossip and we justify it? What are we trying to achieve?
So we're trying to achieve certainty in our life. And certainty is one of the basic human needs. We all want certainty in our life. We want to know that we're okay. We want to know that we're loved. We want to know that we have attention. We want to know that we matter. So these traits, how they manifest, gives us a sense of certainty in our life. And that's why we create the drama. We make excuses for avoiding confrontation because it's scary. And we achieve to be a perfectionist because we care about what other people think about us. Whether we admit any of this or not is another story, but we all somehow manifest these personality traits to create some kind of certainty in our life. So that being said, we also want to create uncertainty in our life. That's another basic human need. So uncertainty, we want to control that because life could throw us a curveball. Challenges come up that we don't want. You know, right? Things will come up that are out of our control. So we want the uncertainty, but we want to create it in a controlled environment. And that's where these traits come in. The drama queen will come in. They're going to create a little uncertainty to make life a little more exciting and create that ripple on the calm pond, the pond that we have in life.
Right.
We want to create that little ripple, but we just don't want that full-blown monkey wrench thrown at us that we're dodging because that's just too much stress. So we create the controlled perfectionism, the controlled drama, the controlled peacemaker, just to keep it a little spicy. It's like going on a roller coaster. You know, you're kind of buckled in, but you know it's going to be thrilling and you know what's coming next. But if you go in something like that in the dark, it's a little more scary, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking, I really like to do a roller coaster in the dark. But I think that we need to talk about the result of those things. The reason that we are feeling stressed out or we're having conflicts that we can't seem to resolve.
We have underlying issues. There's no perfect human being, no matter how hard we try. When these traits, the perfectionist, the peacemaker, and the drama queen manifest, and they're manifesting in a way that's impacting our life negatively, usually it's because there's an underlying issue. And that's the hard part, because it's not readily in our mind. It's not there for us to access. Say, oh, I just reamed my husband out for loading the dishwasher wrong because, I'm angry because I had a bad day at work. That's not what we're thinking. We're thinking, he's an ass. He doesn't know how to do the dishwasher and load it up. I can't take this anymore. That's what's going through our head. We don't realize that, you know what? I'm upset because, this happened at work, or this happened at, one of the parents at school, or the kids, or whatever it is, not right there in our head. And that's a hard thing to do.
So what you're saying, though, is that if we have these tendencies, and we all seem to have them, the perfectionist, the peacemaker, the drama queen, mm-hmm. that they kind of stay on a low simmer, but we can be triggered by bigger events and not realize those two things are connected.
Exactly. And then it becomes a full-blown boil, where the littlest thing, where in your normal day-to-day wouldn't necessarily bother you, all of a sudden becomes a bigger issue. So that's when the perfectionist, peacemaker, drama queen personality, when it manifests in a way that's really affecting your day-to-day, that's when it becomes a problem. So if you find yourself, talking about people all the time behind their back, or, worse, you take up an addiction to create that drama in your life, any addiction, that's a problem. That becomes a problem. If you're a peacemaker to a fault, where you're never speaking up for, setting your boundaries, speaking your mind, and now you're resenting somebody that you love because you're avoiding that topic that is taboo, excuse me. Or if you're a perfectionist that you can't leave the house because, the clothes aren't folded and put away, or you're working till 3 a.m. and you're not spending time with your family. That's a problem, and that's what you need to explore. And those are the underlying issues that are not manifesting that you need to feel. Excuse me.
So another part of this, though, is that we love to point out that other people,
it's always somebody else's fault.
Yes. Yeah. But that perfectionist is making me miserable. That peacemaker is keeping things from being resolved, instead of looking at ourselves.
It's never my fault, Beth. I just want to let you know. Never. It's always someone else's fault. But when you do realize that it's you, oh my gosh, that's a horrible feeling. It's like, oh no.
But I think the thing is, when you do recognize what you're doing,
it certainly lifts the burden off your shoulders. It's bittersweet. It's like, okay, I do recognize that there is this issue that's going on, and now I can do something about this. Whether you need to apologize or you need to look at something, and it's not easy. I mean, saying I'm sorry for something that you may have done or said, it's not easy. But in order to maintain good, healthy relationships, it is necessary. It's a part of us, who we are. We are human beings. We make mistakes, and I think we get really, really hard on ourselves for those things. And it's really unnecessary. We judge ourselves more than someone else would, and we're all human. So I think it's important to know that, yeah, we all have these underlying issues. We all have stuff in our closet that we need to bring up and heal. The problem comes and manifests in a bad way is when we don't acknowledge those things. And instead of talking to ourselves about them and resolving them, we blame someone else for our shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And it's just human nature. But we all have them. We're all in this together. We all want that certainty. We want the controlled environment. We want life in a homeostasis pattern. We want that calm. We want that, life, I'm good. Don't throw me a curveball. Even though it's going to come, you try to control that you know, that challenge and make it manageable. But that's just not real.
But in life would be a lot less stressful if everybody in your house could say, you know what?
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
I screwed up.
Yeah.
Right. I let this get to me to a point that, you know, what I'm really angry about is this.
But it is doable. It really is doable. And it's doable when you care. It's doable when you think that you really love this person and you love yourself to admit. And by doing that, you're setting the example. You're putting their guard down. When you let your guard down, you diffuse someone else. But if you're yelling and being defensive, that other person's going to be defensive too, and you're not going to get anywhere with that. So I think the first line of defense for this is to be the role model, to set the tone, to be the example by diffusing your anger or whatever it is. Or don't even bring it up when you're angry. Just stand back and take a deep breath and be the model would be the behavior that you want.
So when we come back from break, we're going to talk about our own stuff.
No.
our own perfectionist tendencies.
Oh, no. Okay, well, don't go away. We will be right back with more great stuff. You're listening to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on 1400 WSTC.
It's time for a change, but where do you start? Relax, you've got a partner more than willing to help, and she believes in you. Here's more with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns.
All right,
burns.
That earworm has got to go away now. Thank you, Johnny.
The ring of fire.
Okay.
Well, just so happens, I want to talk about the ring of fire. Okay, so we spoke about the perfectionist and the peacemaker and the drama queen and how it relates to all of us in some way, how it manifests. I think of it this way, that every one of us has this ring of fire around us. It's kind of like our firewall, our protection. And we keep it at a campfire level where it's fun. We toast marshmallows and we kind of keep that environment very controlled. Okay, so the traits are fine that we have, this perfectionism and peacemaker, drama queen is fine, as long as it doesn't affect us in the negative way. Now, when it comes in a negative way, that campfire, that ring of fire can become a wildfire. And now it's out of control. And that's when we have to do something about it. And like I said, we all have pieces of these traits. And I know I struggle with perfectionism. It happened to us this morning when the station was down and we were trying to get back on the air, and my tendencies to be perfect, you know, started manifesting, and you were great at keeping the peace for me, the peacemaker.
Oh, yeah. And then we got on the air, and then my perfectionist tendencies kicked in. And Jill's like, we're fine, keep going.
Right. And I'm asking Jill, could I say this bad word on air?
But I think we do need to share a little bit here about when the campfire is low,
right? Yeah.
When we're toasting marshmallows, we need to talk about what that means.
Yeah.
So can you give us the example?
You really want me
I
to
want the example, and I want it in a lot of detail.
Oh, God.
Tell us.
So I got to talk about my bedroom.
Yes, Kathy, you have to tell us how you have to have the sheets on your bed at night before you go to sleep. Because I love this story.
All right. This is a true story. Okay. So at night, before I get into bed, the bed has to be perfectly made. And Jill's laughing. When I get in it, I have to unmake the bed, like fold it down 3 times. It has to be tucked in on 3 corners tight. Otherwise, I feel like I will not sleep all night. And it has to be, like, I have to kind of like slither in and then lie on my back and then fold it around me. It's like, it's really, it's crazy. All right.
This is where we say Bill.
Okay, so
Bill,
I am married.
Bill McCarthy is a saint. Because I would be like, I'm going to destroy
right.
these every night.
So, but Bill, he is a saint. He's awesome. And he thinks this is a quirky part of me. But he also likes to tease me. So if he gets there before I do, he will take those sheets and yank them off the bed, knowing that it drives me insane, but he thinks like he's going to cure me. Like, this is, you know what, just get into bed with it messed up.
Exposure therapy.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Like, it's like, just get in. You'll be fine. I'm like, no, I can't. I have, and I will march around the bed while he's in it, tuck him in it. All around him.
And he's not a small man.
No, he's 6'2", 200 pounds. And he can't stand to be constricted. He needs to move around. But this is my thing. I will not get in the bed unless the bed is perfectly made. And we joke and we laugh about this. And sometimes he'll be the drama queen and throw that monkey wrench in there just to kind of throw me off and laugh. And it is funny. And I joke about it too. But it's like, you know, work with me, Bill. You know, this is my quirky thing. You know, let me tuck you in. And that's one of the things that I do that is part of my perfectionist personality. It doesn't get in the way. It's not a negative thing. It's just a quirky thing. And yes, Bill is a saint. But I know that that's my thing. And I exposed myself, Beth.
Yes.
And I know...
Well, I come from a long line of perfectionists.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. My grandmother was a perfectionist. My mother is a perfectionist. My brother is a perfectionist. And I am a perfectionist.
It's in the DNA.
It's in the DNA. I'm hardwired for perfectionism.
I wonder if there's a blood test for that genetic testing.
I'm sure it will come up. I would say that my perfectionism has served me in many cases. You know, it gives me a leg up in a lot of cases. But I do see the negative effects of it in my children, and I, you know, we try very hard to break that. My husband goes out of his way, as he is not a perfectionist.
I love Mike.
And one of you have your bed sheets, and I have drawers and cabinets. And I did see a video about this on Facebook, so I know I'm not alone. That if my husband leaves his bureau drawer open, as he does daily, multiple times a day, that I literally cannot function until I go and close it. I cannot see, I cannot think about anything else except that drawer is open. He can be telling me something very personal or something we need to do or make a decision about, and all I can see is that the drawer is open and why can't he shut it? And I know he's doing that to test me.
Don't you love him?
I do. I do love Mike Reynolds. But I think that's the thing, is that there's no reason why that drawer should be more important than the thing he's telling me. But it is in the moment.
Right.
And yes, I need to have the dishwasher loaded a certain way.
Yeah.
He clearly does not know how to load the dishwasher.
I was thinking about that this morning when I opened it up, and there were pots in there. Now, I don't put pots in the dishwasher. I think most women don't. But right. There were pots in there. And I thought, you know, maybe I should take his head, put it in the dishwasher, rub his nose in it like a puppy, and say, you don't put pots in the dishwasher. That was the first thought. I did not do that. But instead, I thought, you know what? What an awesome guy. He actually does put the dishes in the dishwasher. I need to chill and know that this is part of my perfectionism, and this too shall pass.
And what would I do if I opened the dishwasher and it was exactly the way I wanted it?
I throw the monkey wrench in there. I create some drama. Because it was too boring. Who wants a perfect dishwasher?
Gives me something to do when I open the dishwasher.
Right, hey, get a little, you know, make a little drama, internal drama in there. It becomes a problem if I actually went and said, really? This is how you load the dishwasher? And then he would say, good, I'm not doing it anymore. It's your job now. Just like if you said to Mike, really? Are you trying to kill me? I'm going to smack my head on this cupboard.
I do say that.
Oh, do you?
We're going to talk later because we need to do some work. But what we're saying is these are the idiosyncrasies of our marriages.
Right.
Right. This is the thing that makes it us.
Right. But it is. It's part of who we are. It's how our marriage works. We don't make it an argument. And some of these things become into huge arguments for people. That's the problem when we don't recognize these personality traits that we have. That's when the campfire is no longer fun. You're not roasting marshmallows, having a glass of wine, or having hot cocoa. It's the wildfire that's raging out of control, and you feel uncontrolled, and you don't know why. That's when this becomes the problem. like we spoke about earlier in the segment. So how do we make it okay? We want certainty, yet we want uncertainty. We want a little drama. We don't want things boring. Who wants a boring life? And let's face it, don't we do the same thing every day? We get up, we take the kids to school, we go to work, we take care of our home.
We love the dishwasher.
We love the dishwasher. We close all the cabinets. We fix the bed. And life is good. But we wait for the other shoe to drop. And then that's when we live in fear and anxiety and stress, self-imposed stress, because it's uncomfortable to live that way. We think there's something wrong. So what do? We put the news on. Oh my God, look what's happening on the news. Or we call a friend and guess what happened? Or you don't like your spouse because they leave the cabinet open, the dishwasher's not right, and now it's a problem. They don't take the garbage out. Every time I tell my husband take the garbage out, he doesn't take it out. Or look at those shoes in the corner. They know better. They should know to put those shoes away. And look at the jackets hung all over the house except for in the closet. That's the problem. When that is manifesting in you in a negative way and it's impacting your stress level, your anxiety, your life, and you're resenting the people that you truly love, your campfire is now a bonfire. And that's what you got to look at. Are you intentionally creating this drama? Because maybe there's something missing. You want something, you need something, but you don't know how to communicate that, because maybe you don't know. And that's what you need to look at. Because these little quirky things that we have about ourselves, and we all have them, we're all guilty of them. You know, the way we may be complaining about someone in our life, they're probably thinking the same way, but they're not bringing it to our attention because they may be in a better place than we are. And that's when we have to deeply look and figure it out. What is it? Why does this bother me so much? Why am I making it a big deal?
But we have to look at ourselves. That's what we were talking about in the first segment, is that it's not the other person that's doing it to you. It's you doing it to yourself.
Right. And that's where you have the control. That's where you could say, okay, I'm blaming so-and-so because I'm so mad, and this person is leaving shoes around and doing all these things that, you know, does it matter? Can you overlook a lot of this stuff? Yes. But when you can't, then that's when you have to take a look inside and say, okay, what's really going on? There is always a deeper issue. Maybe you don't have the connection with your husband or wife and you want more attention. You need a date night. So you're snapping at him or her because you want, I need to go out with you. I need to talk to you. I need to connect to you on a deeper level than who's going to go pick up the kids next.
Right.
And that's what's important to recognize. And sometimes it's that simple. You know, that's my inner guidance. I know that when I'm missing that time with my husband, I could feel it inside. And I've gotten good enough that I recognize that. And I could speak my needs and communicate that.
So in the next segment, we're going to be taking a caller talk a little bit more about whether we're at campfire or Tennessee wildfire level. So, Kathy, you want to take us out?
Okay, well, you are listening to Coach Kathy, I Believe in You, on 1400 WSTC.
It's your life, but that doesn't mean it can't change for the better. The first steps start here. Now back to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
And we're back. So, I hear that we are going to be taking a caller today. Do we have a caller on the line, Jill?
Yes.
Okay, who do we have?
Let's let her introduce herself. Can we?
Perfectionism is
rampant in the WSTC studios today.
Yeah, I hear we're having some technical difficulties on the app.
That's why. Okay, hold on. When I put you on, when you hear them.
Okay. So we're talking about perfectionist peacemakers and drama queens.
Do we have a drama queen on the line, a peacemaker, or a perfectionist? What do we have going on here?
While we're waiting for
they're testing our perfectionism here.
So far, what we've covered is that we all have these tendencies.
Yeah.
The perfectionist, the peacemaker, and the drama queen, and
right.
that we have shared our own personal perfectionist problems.
Yes.
That are small. That we recognize that our idiosyncrasies in our own marriages. That we know that the point is not to let those things get out of control.
Right, just look at the past, kind of a quirky, ooh. She's testing us today.
That's all right. this is called learning the ropes.
Yeah.
So
it happens on live
it
radio.
Does. And
that's we're real people.
We're real people, and we have real mechanical issues, and we keep going. As long as your campfire is not turning into
still
a
at campfire. Yes. I might need a glass of wine to go with that campfire. Tossing the hot cocoa and marshmallows. I need a piece of cake and a glass of wine.
We know it can go remarkably fast from campfire to bonfire.
In a split second. I mean, tendencies to be compulsive.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely come up, and I think that's where some people get their OCD.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all have little OCD tendencies as well. And I think it's important to recognize that. What do you need? What do you want? And how do you get that for yourself without blaming someone else? My goodness, Jill. Do we have someone on the air?
Who do we have on the air today?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Well, that gives people an incentive to call in, huh?
It's all under control. We have one of the best producers in Connecticut.
Jill is awesome. Do you know Jill was my producer, my editor on my television show?
Mm-hmm. This is good to
hello?
Here we go. Hello? Who do we have on the air?
Hi. My name's Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
In Brooklyn.
Hi, Margaret from Brooklyn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Have you been listening to the show?
I have been listening, and it sounds like you're describing my Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What happened to you over Christmas?
My husband and I had to drive up to Massachusetts to see my parents. And it should have taken about 4.5 hours, and it took us 7 with traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, my brother and his family left right away. Like, my parents are having some health problems. My dad is having some joint issues, and my mom has just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Sorry.
So when we got there after this long drive, my brother left right away. He didn't even stop to visit, he and his family. And then Christmas Eve, we got up, my husband and I, and we started cooking dinner. And we cooked all day for 10 people and then had a great dinner. And then after dinner, we had to do all the dishes. My parents don't own a dishwasher. They never have. And my brother just sat there. He passed me all the dirty dishes, but he certainly didn't help clean up.
Okay.
And
how did you feel about that?
Hello?
How'd you feel about that?
I was getting angrier and angrier, and he lives closer to my parents. He lives only an hour away, and he gets to see them more, but this is the way it's always been. It's like, I'm the girl, so I have to do all the cooking and all the cleaning up in his eyes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he just sat there. He didn't help. There was a ton of dishes. So now I'm like fuming in my head. I have volcanoes going off. And then we have a little tradition where we open one present on Christmas Eve. And I was just sitting there, but I wasn't enjoying anything. I wasn't even looking at what anyone was opening because I was just... I just had explosions going off in my head. And it carried through to the next day. I didn't even enjoy Christmas Day because I just I was so pissed off at him. Can I say that?
Yes, you just did.
But I kept telling myself, like, don't pick the fight. Don't pick the fight. That's going to ruin Christmas. But then I ended up ruining my Christmas. And, you know, with my mom, as she sinks deeper into Alzheimer's, like, this could have been my last Christmas with her.
Right.
And I didn't enjoy it at all. I was in my head the whole day. I was hurting myself. I cut myself twice in the kitchen on Christmas because I just was so mad but didn't want to ruin Christmas, you know?
Could I ask you how your relationship with your brother is usually?
Well, it's usually pretty good, but when we were younger, we were a lot closer. And then as we've grown up, and especially in today's day and age, we're not going to get into politics, but our politics are very different.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a huge blowout after the election, and that definitely put a little wedge between us. And and it makes me sad. I don't feel like I can talk to my brother the way I used to.
Okay, so there's a few things that I see here. So one thing that you said that I picked up on is you said you stayed in your head. And I think that's where a lot of us do that. You were the drama queen. You were everything. You were the perfectionist, and you wanted to be the peacemaker because you didn't say anything. You wanted to keep the peace. You wanted to make Christmas good not only for you but for everybody, but the one who suffered was you.
Yeah.
And you were in your head because of what you were thinking. So I'm going to put this on you. So you were looking at your brother. He was sitting there. He wasn't doing anything except for passing the dishes. You were doing the dishes, and you were just seething from the minute you drove up there, from the time the dishes came, and you're thinking about your aging parents, and I get that. Your parents, they're not well, and you're taking on this responsibility. Are you older or younger than your brother?
I am. I'm younger. We're basically Irish twins. We're about 11 months apart.
Okay, so you're very close in age. And here's all this responsibility. And you're seething. The more you're staying in your head and thinking about what if, the worse it's becoming for you.
Yes.
So I would suggest that and I don't know how often you go home, but if you could plan ahead, that you know you and your brother don't agree on politics, correct?
Right.
You know that he's not a mind reader. He doesn't know that you are seething on the inside. That's the thing. We think that our actions are going to, people are going to know by looking at us that we're not okay, and then we want them to come to us, go, what's the matter? And then you get to lash out. You get to say, well,
I saw some pictures from Christmas Day, and I couldn't believe how normal I looked, knowing how angry I was.
Right, but on the inside, you were seething. So, you know, I think it's important for us to not assume that people know what's going on, because your brother and everybody else probably had a great time. They were thrilled to see you and thought you were having a good time.
Right.
But if you could change your thoughts very simply by saying, you know, whatever your brother's name is, you know, hey, why don't you come in the kitchen, help me with the dishes? I haven't seen you. I haven't talked to you. Let's chat. That would have been a lot more pleasant than seething. And it sounds to me, you know, you mentioned your aging parents, that there may be concerns. He lives right there. You live far away. What's going to happen? And there's a lot of fear. And you're coming from a place of fear. All this, everybody who has these issues, they're always manifest because of fear. So I think you have to look at, what is your fear? What are you afraid of? You know, what is going on that, I mean, that the fact that your brother didn't help with the dishes is kind of, it's not it, you know. I don't think it's the cause of your seething anger, and then it ruined your Christmas. You allowed that to ruin your Christmas. You allowed the thoughts that you had, the fears that you had, ruin your Christmas, and you have complete control over that.
Right.
You know, you have complete control over how you want your Christmas to go, how you want to feel. Now, you have no control over if your brother brings up politics, but you do have control by saying, you know what, let's agree to disagree because, you know, I love you enough that I don't want to go down that road.
Right.
That's the control that you have. Your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. That's what's going to create your result. So look at the fear. You know, what is it? Your aging parents, are you afraid that maybe, you know, you're going to be the responsible party here that's going to have to step up to the plate when they need you? You know, you have to look at those thoughts that are bothering you and be an ally with your brother. But you can create that. You could make that wildfire into the little bonfire, little campfire, and work together. And if you get resistance, you always have another choice.
Yes. Now, do you have any suggestions? I mean, should I lock myself in the bathroom and scream into the shower curtain, or...
I don't even think you have to get to that. I don't think you have to get to that. I think if you just use a little empathy and you're easy on yourself and you do things that plan ahead, you know, I think we have the tendency to go way down the road of what if this happens and when this happens, and don't stay present, stay where you are. Your intention is, I'm going to enjoy Christmas. What can I do to make sure that I'm going to enjoy Christmas?
And I'm going to have to interrupt because we've actually run out of time.
No.
We have. So,
Margaret, you're going to have to call back another time. I hope this was helpful and give you some. We only have like 5 minutes.
We have 10 seconds,
and I really
actually,
like
ladies.
Planning ahead. I actually like to plan ahead for other things. So that makes sense to me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for calling, Margaret. We have to take another break, but keep on listening.
Thank you for listening.
Don't go away. You're listening to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on 1400 WSTC.
It's your life, but that doesn't mean it can't change for the better. The first steps start here. Now back to I Believe in You with Coach Kathy on AM 1400 WSTC.
Beth, we're actually out of time today. Went by so quick. I had a great time. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Coach Kathy's Boxes. I Believe in You, Faith. My daughter. I believe in you, Beth. It's been one of those days.
I believe in you too, Kathy.
Have a great week, everyone. I'll see you next time on I Believe in You with Coach Kathy. Next up is Bruce Hall on 1400 WSTC. Bye-bye.
The music you've never stopped loving. The Great American Songbook on AM 1400 WSTC.